Are you looking for Christ-centered, cross-focused Christmas gifts for your young children, grandchildren, or godchildren? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a children's book titled, O Holy Night. This children's resource costs less than $2, plus shipping and handling. O Holy Night is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Holy Night, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We often like to review sermons here on Issues Etc. Sometimes you need to review a sermon. And this is a little, like, I have to admit, it's a little bit awkward. We are going to do a sermon review, but part of the reason for playing this sermon and for listening to it this afternoon is not just for a mere review. We review sermons so that we're teaching people, everybody, what it is they ought to listen for in a very basic way on Sunday morning so that they know that they are hearing Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching. That's the purpose of our sermon reviews. We use good examples, we use bad examples. Today, a good example. I'll be up front with you. We're going to do our review. We'll talk about our diagnostic. But one of the reasons we do sermon reviews here too as well is to give you, let you listen in to what good preaching sounds like. When we have those good examples, we want you to hear what it sounds like, get accustomed to hearing this kind of good preaching so that when you go to church on Sunday morning, you expect to hear it. If you don't, you talk to your pastor very carefully, very politely. You say, Pastor, I'm not hearing the cross. I'm not hearing Jesus Christ crucified for me. I'm not hearing the comfort of the gospel. And hopefully, if he's worth his salt, he won't rob you of that Sunday after Sunday. And after the kind of weekend that our nation had that was kicked off in a most tragic way in that elementary school in Connecticut and the crimes that were committed there, people are asking questions. Now, a preacher worth his salt also gets into the pulpit and he realizes he doesn't preach in a vacuum. He preaches to people who have been hearing about the tragedy there. So he wants to address it. You can do a lot of things. You could throw out your sermon and spend a lot of time talking about the tragedy. You could do a lot of philosophizing about why this happens, or you could get up in your bully pulpit and you could talk about all of the political issues surrounding a great crime like this. You'd be wasting everybody's time, I can guarantee you. Or you could do what our preacher for today has managed to do, and that is stay with the text that the church has assigned for this Sunday and address, and this is why the Bible is eminently relevant, why the gospel is eminently relevant every Sunday. Because it addresses, the gospel is for weekends like this. It's for every weekend, but it is for times like this in our lives, when our doubts mount up and when our horror at our own sin is tangible. That is what the gospel is for. Now, St. Paul knew this. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right off the bat with those Corinthians, I was determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. He lived in a world stained by sin and death. He knew that the only answer to it, Sunday after Sunday, would be the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to review this sermon. Our simple diagnostic, how often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally. If Jesus is mentioned often, then go on to part two. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? That is the pastor talking about what Jesus does? Is he the one who is running the verbs? And if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then you can go on to part three, which is what are the verbs? What do you hear from your preacher that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Are they the verbs of Scripture that has Jesus living, suffering, dying for you? Those verbs of the gospel? Or are they just the Jesus who comforts you and does his best for you? Are they the verbs of modern psychology that tries to just wave away our concerns about sin and death and tragedy and evil with it's okay, or God loves you anyway, or Jesus is on your side, or he's a big, powerful guy, or he's here to make your life better? That all falls kind of flat, doesn't it, when we see the face of sin and death as we did this weekend? So that's our diagnostic. The text for this sermon, as I said, drawn straight from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, the famous text of John in prison, having his own doubts. When he heard about the deeds of Christ, he sent word to his disciples and said to them, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. And then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" With that, the text, here's the sermon. It was preached yesterday by Pastor Mark Lovett of Concordia Lutheran Church in Hoisington, Kansas.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The third Sunday in Advent, the name of it is Gaudete. It's Latin. It's the first word of the introit. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let your reason be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. But I can't imagine, given the events that have transpired in our country and even throughout the world this past week, that there's too much rejoicing. I can't imagine throughout the week, as these events have brought to mind the loved ones you have lost, those who have been taken from you either by death or divorce or abandonment, I can't imagine that you rejoice in these things. I know that I do not. We don't rejoice in those slain here or in the 22 in China that were nearly stabbed to death by a madman. We don't rejoice in these things. We mourn and we weep. More fitting than Gaudete Sunday, perhaps, is one of the Sundays in Lent where we find sorrow and great grief. And the prophet's words that we just heard from the scriptures and that we just sang don't seem to ring too true in our ears this morning. "Comfort, comfort, ye my people. Speak ye peace, thus saith our God. Tell her that her warfare is over." Surely, as St. John the Baptist sat in a madman's prison, imprisoned because he preached the word of God without fear of what man would do to him, surely he wondered the same thing that the entire world, and especially those of the community in Connecticut, asked. The same question that we all pondered on 9/11 and at Columbine and Aurora, Colorado. The same question moms and dads ask as they pray for their little ones who suffer in the NICU. Why, God? Why this tragedy? Why the loss of such innocence? Why the devastation of so great an evil unleashed seemingly from the bowels of hell? There was ever a demoniac, a man possessed by a demon. It seems that the murderer of children is such a one. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ frees the demoniac. He doesn't punish him. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ takes his punishment on himself, on the cross. A cross forged by all the murders and evil acts ever committed, from the murder of Abel to the murder of those of Sandy Hook Elementary, to the untold billions of babies murdered in their mother's wombs. The Lord receives all the just and righteous anger of God over the wicked and evil deeds done by men. But still the question is not answered. Why? Why let such evil out? Why not stay the hand of Herod, who murdered countless baby boys in the streets of Bethlehem, ripping them from their mother's arms by Roman soldiers? Why not stay the plans of a Hitler or a Stalin or a Osama bin Laden, who all did the same as Herod? Why not stop the rage of the madmen who shoot up movie theaters and elementary schools and who fly planes into towers? And why not destroy those clinics of death that have murdered more babies than all wars, tyrants, and madmen combined, murdered by their own mothers? Why not, in the end, end disease and bloodshed? Why such senseless and pointless tragedy? Well, we know why. Sin. Sin is always why. Sin is why madmen murder, It is why fathers abandon their families and why mothers neglect their children. It is why governments betray their citizens and why neighbor hurts and murders and steals from neighbor. Sin is always the reason, but not any specific sin per se, as the disciples asked Jesus of the blind man, who sinned that this man be born blind, him or his parents? And Jesus says, no, neither. But rather, it is the rebellion of all mankind against his Creator. Mankind has rebelled, and the price of rebellion is always chaos. Chaos that destroys everything, even little children. In fact, all specific sins, all our lies and all our gossip, all our lustful thoughts and all our sinful desires are merely and simply a result and an outcome of this chief sin of all mankind, rebellion against God.
We're reviewing a sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Mark Lovett of Concordia Lutheran Church in Hoisington, Kansas, not only on the occasion of the text from Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter, where John the Baptist seeks an answer to a question from Jesus, are you the one or shall we look for another, but also on the occasion, of course, of the tragic events in Connecticut. When we come back, we'll continue our sermon review. It is Monday afternoon, December the 17th. Now, so far, in, I think, very fitting passion, he is not offering us comfort in the innate goodness of man. I think after the dust settles, we'll probably hear some of that, trying to restore our faith in humanity. And that may be fine psychology, that may be a fine way of trying to cope with the tragedy in Connecticut, but it has no root in the truth. We do not take our comfort in the face of this kind of evil in how man is still basically good, the innate goodness of man, or restoring our faith in humanity. No, that's the wrong place to look. Our faith needs to lie somewhere else. We'll find out after this. Folks, we're currently $30,000 short of making budget this year, and we have 2 weeks left in 2012. Please support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a tax-deductible contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India,
Sweden, Egypt,
France, Turkey,
Japan, Australia,
Canada, United Kingdom,
Hong Kong, Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
The Advent hymn, Jesu Come, featuring the National Lutheran Choir, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world. If you tune in now, and I encourage you to do so, LutheranPublicRadio.org, absolutely free, 24/7, all year long. But if you tune in right now, you're going to hear Advent music. 1 week from today on Christmas Eve, we'll begin playing Christmas music during the 12 days of Christmas at LutheranPublicRadio.org, LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music for the world. We're reviewing a sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Mark Lovett of Concordia Lutheran Church in Hoisington, Kansas. He's working from the text of Matthew chapter 11 with John the Baptist asking Jesus if he is the one or shall we look for another. And in the face of those doubts, also the doubts that have been engendered by the tragedy in Connecticut at the beginning of the weekend. Now, at this point in the sermon, he's not offering that false comfort of let's try to find the silver lining or let's make the world a better place, or let's try and restore our faith in humanity. No, in fact, it's kind of doing the opposite, saying, in fact, all specific sins are merely the result and outcome of the chief sin of man, rebellion against God.
But in the heart of men, we simply cannot accept this, which, by the way, is why the scriptures say that we must accept original sin on faith. Because in our heart of hearts, we cannot accept the answer that sin is the reason that we'd have all of this evil. Because in our heart of hearts, we have bought the lie that once the fruit is eaten, we shall decide for good and evil. And so, in our primordial minds, in our DNA, we have this idea that we are still good. When we look upon ourselves, we say, yes, there's a lot of crap that goes on, but basically, I am still very good. Mankind has bought the lie. And so he rejects that sin is the reason because he doesn't actually believe that he is sinful. He does bad things, but he doesn't mean to. They are mistakes. And because mankind cannot believe that he is sinful, he looks for other reasons why these things transpire. And he blames violence on TV, or video games, or drugs, or gangs, or politicians, or the lack of some law or morality, and so forth and so on. Because man thinks that these are the reasons why we suffer, why evil happens. And so he looks to gods who can solve these problems. He will look to money to keep kids off the street and off drugs. Man looks to gun control to try and keep weapons of death out of the hands of madmen. He will look to government to control the actions of men and eventually even allow government to try to control the thoughts of men, which is why John the Baptist sat in a madman's prison. He will look to morality to judge and condemn such evil and force men to comply with his man-made laws of tolerance, justice, and equality. Man will look to gods he has fashioned because man ultimately does not believe he is the problem. But in the face of such evil, in the heartbreaking hours that follow so gross and wicked and perverse a thing as what happened 2 days ago, these gods are silent. Money can't answer the pain because money feels no pain. Gun control can't bring back those who have lost their lives to bullets. And morality cannot sympathize with the grieving because morality does not grieve, but only demands. The American dream and prosperity and pay it forward and all our other gods from which we seek blessings and good are deaf to our cries and mute to our pain. They are silent because they know nothing, feel nothing, and can do nothing. They are gods of wind and smoke, vapor and fog, a chasing after the wind. And those who trust in these gods shall be put to shame. Because when evil strikes, and homes are devastated, and families are ripped asunder, and we are robbed of our joy and our peace, these gods are useless and pathetic idols, and all we get from them is a divine silence. Only the God who in the beginning spoke can give answer. Only the God who is himself the Word of God, become flesh in the womb of Mary, to give answer to abortion. Only the God who suffered at the hands of Herod so that his family fled the country can give answer to those whose children are killed by madmen. Only the God who is chased down by the government, by the religious authorities, can give answer to the one who is rejected by his friends and his peers. Only the God who sat in the prison of Pilate's court can give answer to those who sit in the prisons of men. And only the God who hung upon a cross can give answer to death. Only he can, because only he has become as we are. And on his lips we hear the voice of all mankind issuing forth the cry from every suffering soul, from every mother and father who must now bury a child, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Surely it was the question of John who sat in prison, and it is the question of every wife who sits alone because her husband has left her for another woman. It is the question of every child whose father and mother don't want her. And it's the question of every mother and father who must bury their child because the devil came in the form of a madman, a disease, a car accident, a farming accident, or a birth defect. He came to kill, to steal, and destroy, and his kingdom is chaos, and he rules in fury because he knows that his time is short. And just as it is only the Lord Jesus Christ who can put mankind's suffering and grief to voice, so it is only him who is the answer. For here in the disparity of our hearts and the hearts of those men and women, the Lord speaks his words of comfort, "I am. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And here we hear the voice of Gaudete Sunday, "Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reason be made known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. I am with you when you suffer your diseases and your sicknesses, your strokes and your heart attacks, because I suffer with you and for you. I am with you when you die, because I died for you. I am with you when you lay upon the grave and in the grave, because I myself laid in the grave. I am with you when you weep, because I weep for you and with you. I am with you when you mourn, because I mourn for you. I am with you because I am one of you. And I speak to you, my brothers and sisters, a better word than justice, a better word than retribution, a better word than vindication. I speak to you the word of life, because I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life of the world. I am the light shining in the darkness. I am the watchman keeping watch over my flock. I am the way guiding you in the way of life. And I shall raise you from the clutches of death. The same man who gave voice to all humanity, to all creation and the abandonment of God, is himself the answer from God, the very voice from heaven, the word of God made flesh. Jesus is the God who breaks the silence. And he is the God who does not abandon us, but lives with us and among us. Indeed, he lives for us, always interceding on our behalf. He is the Word of God, and he stands forever. And by him and in him we find our comfort. In him we find our life. In him we find our love. In him we find our peace. In him we find our God. In him our warfare is indeed over. Comfort, comfort ye my people. Speak ye peace, thus saith our God. Behold, O man, your peace. In the name of Jesus.
That's a sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Mark Lovett of Concordia Lutheran Church in Hoisington, Kansas. Now, you can read a text of this sermon, and I highly recommend that you do. That's one of those sermons that you have to return to again and again. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Now, there isn't going to be a terrible tragedy every weekend that puts us in mind, so keenly in mind of our sin and our death and our hopelessness against it. But that doesn't mean pastors ought not to preach the comfort of Christ and Him crucified for all sinners, His victory over death every Sunday. In fact, because we continue to live in this world of sin and death, and sometimes we're actually aware of it, pastors need to remind us by God's word of our real condition and the only answer that there is, the only answer that God gives, and it is an all-sufficient answer in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We need to hear that, and that means our pastors need to preach that every single Sunday, every weekend. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Jonathan Fisk review that big movie, The Hobbit, and we'll talk with Pastor Tom Baker about the birth of Jesus. We'll also discuss the testimony of John the Baptist with Pastors Jeff Hemmer and Hans Feeney. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Well, Emily has completed 36 hours at Sylvan Learning Center. Her reading comprehension has improved almost 3 grade levels, and she's gone up more than a grade level in math. Not only have her academic skills improved, we've also noticed an increase in Emily's confidence. Sylvan Learning Center has 2 Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. Journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Edie Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org.